Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this morning we read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 17, Punishment and Reward of Kali, text number 43 and 44. So we'll read 43 together, and then I'll read 44 myself. Sa esha etari adyasta asanam parthivochitam pita maheno bhanyastam. Ragya ranjam vivikshita. Is there a light here? Or does anybody have a phone I can borrow just for a minute? Sa esha etar yad yastya asanam parthivochitam pitamaheno bhanyastam ragharanyam vivikshita. Sa esha etar yad yastya asanam parthivochitam pitamahin lopanyastam ragyaranyam vivikshita. Sa esha etar yasyasta asanam parthivochitam pitamaheno panyastam ragharanyam vivikshita. Asanam parthivochitam pitamaheno panyastam ragharanyam vivikshita. Sa esha etar yajasta asanam parthivochitam pitamaheno panyastam ragharanyam vivikshita. Sa esha etar yajasta asanam parthivochitam asanam parthivochitam
sa he oh
Actually, I'm going to read the other verse first. Aste nana sarayusi karavendra shi yolasang gojahavye mahabhagas chakravarti brahachava sa he esha this etarhi at the present adyaste is ruling over asanam the throne parthiva uchitam just befitting a king pitamahena by the grandfather upanyastam being handed over pragya by the king aranyam forest vivikshita desiring aste is there adhuna at present sa that rajarisi the sage amongst the kings Kaurava Indra, the chief amongst the Kuru kings. Shriya, glories. Ulasan, spreading. Gajavaye, in Hastinapur. Mahabhaga, the most fortunate. Chakravarti, the emperor. Brihatshava, highly famous. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. The most fortunate Emperor Maharaj Parikshit, who was entrusted with the kingdom of Hastinapur by Maharaj Yudhisthira when he desired to retire to the forest, is now ruling the world with great success due to his being glorified by the deeds of the kings of the Kuru dynasty. Purport. The prolonged sacrificial ceremonies undertaken by the sages of Naimasaranya were begun shortly after the demise of Maharaj Parikshit. The sacrifice was to continue for 1,000 years, and is understood that in the beginning, some of the contemporaries of Baladeva, the elder brother of Lord Krishna, also visited the sacrificial place. Is that the right one? Yeah, okay. According to some authorities, the present tense is also used to indicate the nearest margin of time from the past. In that sense, the present tense is applied to the reign of Maharaj Parikshit here. For a continuous fact, also, present tense can be used. The principles of Maharaj Parikshit can be still continued, and human society can still be improved if there is determination by the authorities. We can still purge out from the state all the activities of immorality introduced by the personality of Kali if we are determined to take action like Maharaj Parikshit. He allotted some place for Kali. But in fact, Kali could not find such places in the world at all because Maharaj Parikshit was strictly vigilant to see that there were no places for gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter. Modern administrators want to banish corruption from the state, but fools as they are, they do not know how to do it. They want to issue license for gambling houses, wine and other intoxicating drug houses, brothels, hotel prostitution, and cinema houses, and falsity in every dealing, even in their own. And they want, at the same time, to drive out corruption from the state. They want the kingdom of God without God consciousness. How can it be possible to adjust two contradictory matters? If you want to drive out corruption from the state, we must first of all organize society to accept the principles of religion namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. And to make the condition favorable, we must close all places of gambling, drinking, prostitution, and falsity. These are some of the practical lessons from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Gyanatmanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurim Militam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukram Kurtava Chalang Pangunak Lung Hai Te Garim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Vanchikapa Tivjasya Kripa Sindhavye Vacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasri Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. First of all, I'd like to say a little bit about this special day. 54 years ago today, Srila Prabhupada, he landed in America or he left? He landed in America, right? Huh? Arrived, yeah. So this is a special day. Srila Prabhupada, he accepted this order of his spiritual master to go to the West and preach the message of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the message of Lord Krishna. It took some time before he did it, but Prabhupada said, better late than never. Yeah. So we're very fortunate that this meeting took place between Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada in 1922, where he received this order, this instruction, and had this transcendental meeting not taken place, we would all be still being bashed by the waves of the material nature, struggling for existence. But now we're chanting Hare Krishna, engaged in devotional service, and pushing on this mission. That was started actually by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're very fortunate. And we should also try to help others become fortunate. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said to Srila Prabhupada, it will be good for you and it will be good for those who receive this message. So similarly, when we're preaching Krishna consciousness, it's good for us, and it's good for those who get this message. So here this verse is very nice, explaining the glories of Maharaj Parikshit. He's Mahabhaga, which means the most fortunate. Bhaga means fortunate. So he's Mahabhaga, most fortunate. Now, I was thinking about how he was fortunate. Well, first of all, right from the beginning of his life, in the womb, he was fortunate. You know, his father had been killed in the Battle of Kurukshetra, Abhimanyu. And his wife was pregnant, Uttara. And Ashwatthama, such a rascal, he wanted to kill the remaining heir of the dynasty, of the Kuru dynasty. So he threw this Brahmastra weapon, pretty heavy-duty weapon to kill a child in a womb, right? So Uttara could see this great calamity. So she prayed to Krishna. for protection. And she even said, may I die, but may my child live. A little different from our present ladies. They're killing so many children, about 50 million a year, abortion. But she said, may I die, but let my child live. So this is another aspect of Pariksit's great fortune, that he had such a great wife. And she was young. Now, he was 16 when he was killed. Just a boy. But he was a kshatriya, powerful kshatriya. And she was younger. But she's praying in this way. Such integrity. You know, let me die, but let my child live. So Krishna came and protected Pariksit. And Pariksit means, anybody know what the meaning of Pariksit is? Examiner. Because he saw Krishna in the womb. So beautiful. How fortunate, huh? So from seeing Krishna in the womb, he was thinking, after he was born, where is that person? He was an exam. Where is that person? He wanted to see Krishna again. So his birth was very fortunate. And his death is very fortunate. He heard he was going to die in 7 days. So being a Rajarsi, a great king, saintly king, he said, all right, let me learn. What is the goal of life? So by transcendental arrangement, again, Sukadev Goswami shows up and he preaches to Pariksit Maharaj for 7 days. And he heard with such rapt attention. He didn't eat, he didn't sleep, didn't drink for 7 days. Inconceivable. And not only him, but all these sages sitting there as well, hearing with rapt attention. In the purport of this verse, Prabhupada says that one can see Krishna on every page of the Bhagavatam if one hears with rapt attention. But to hear with rapt attention, one has to be pure in mind. But to be pure in mind, one has to be pure in action. To be pure in action, one has to be pure in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But if one is able to hear in this way with rapt attention, one can see Krishna on every page of the Bhagavata. So this rapt attention, this hearing with rapt attention is so, so important. Not only hearing the Bhagavatam with rapt attention, but hearing our japa with rapt attention. It's not easy, you know. As we've all experienced, Kali Yuga, it's so difficult to hear with rapt attention. You know, we have an amazing phenomenon in our ISKCON society that at night we're laying down on our bed, you know, trying to take rest, and the lights are out, and it's quiet. Still can't sleep, right? But you come to Bhagavatam class, and as soon as they say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, you see heads start going down. And in India, there's a saying that the cure for insomnia is Srimad Bhagavatam. So, but no, we should actually be eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. And that was the great fortune of Parikshit Maharaj, that he was eager. He was very eager to hear. And he was interesting. He was the last descendant of the Kuru dynasty. And he carried this the legacy of the Kuru dynasty very nicely, because he was a great king. He was a pure devotee. He was the best at hearing. Just like we hear, there's different personalities that were the best at the nine different processes of devotional service: Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parsevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. So Sukadeva Goswami, he was the best at chanting, at preaching. And at his feet was the best at hearing, Parikshit Maharaj. Amazing. The two that were best at these two were right there. Yeah. Hearing and chanting. So this is another of his fortunate qualities. And what most sticks out about his great fortune is that he was a great devotee. He was a great Vaishnava. Although he was a king, ruling the world, he was a great Vaishnava. And we can learn from Parikshit Maharaj, how to take shelter of Krishna, how to depend on Krishna, to see everything as the arrangement of Krishna. It's like he was cursed to die. Prabhupada says that he could have counter-cursed. He was such a great person. And we thought, no, let me take this as an opportunity to take shelter of Krishna and go back home. So, with many of us, we've had reversals. All of us have had reversals in our life. But to see it in a Krishna conscious way, it's not easy. But Parikshit Maharaj was so Krishna conscious that even his death, his curse to death, he saw as Krishna's arrangement. Let me take advantage of this. So he was conditioned to thinking of Krishna. In this world, people are conditioned to sense gratification. But the pure devotees, they're conditioned to thinking of Krishna. They can't help but think of Krishna. So this is something we can pray for, to be conditioned to thinking of Krishna in all circumstances. If we're conditioned in this way, then we're very, very healthy. So we have to learn to think of Krishna, and not think of Krishna through our filtered, contaminated consciousness, but to think of Krishna as he is. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains how to think of him. Kaving pranam anusasataram anoran yangstam nuspreya sarvasya dataram achintirupam adityavarnam tamasa parashtat. That we should think of Krishna as he who knows everything. There's nothing that Krishna doesn't know. He knows everything from the past, everything that's now happening, everything that's going to happen in the future. So this is Krishna. He knows a lot. He's the oldest person, which is interesting because we're all old, right? Sometimes you meet people on Sankirtan. I've heard I'm an old soul, or I'm a young soul. No, we're all old souls. We're all eternal. So Krishna, still it's described that he's the oldest. Pranam. Kaving pranam anusasataram. That he's the supreme controller. I met one student a few days ago, and he said, well, aren't we all God? I said, yes, we are in one sense, but we're God with a little g, because we can control a little bit. We can do a little bit. But God, He's the supreme God. He's the God with the big G. He's creating universes. So he asked the student, when was the last time you created a universe? He said, yeah, not recently. So God, he's creating universes. This is the supreme God. Parameshwara. That's Krishna. Kaving pranam anusasatar anura anayangsan nuspreet. That he's smaller than the smallest. And he's bigger than the biggest. He's so big. That Mahavishnu, from whom universes are emanating from his pores, is an expansion of Krishna. You just see how big Krishna is. Sarvasya dataram achintirupam, that he's maintaining everyone. Nityo nityanam chitanas chaitananam ekabhanam yo vidhati kamam, that there's so many eternals. We're all eternal, but there's one eternal, Krishna, who's maintaining everyone else. That same day, the other day, I met this one person, the last person I engaged. A couple of days ago, I was showing the book to him, and he said, so what's the book about? I said, well, it tells about karma, about time, about material and spiritual nature, karma, and God. He said, I don't believe in God. I said, you know, I used to be in your shoes. I also used to not believe in God. But I went off to a forest one time. And I was looking at the trees. And in this forest, there was also some fruit trees. And I was thinking, how can it be possible that this can all be accident? That fruits are coming off these trees by accident? And I was actually living in the forest for some time there, and the sun would rise and set. And then I was thinking, how is it that the sun can be an accident, such a powerful energy? So I told him, I was thinking like you also. But then I thought, no, it's illogical. There must be some higher intelligence behind this manifestation, this great manifestation. And then he said to me, how much do you want for the book? He got the Bhagavad Gita. So that was a nice way to end that conversation. So yeah, this is Krishna. He's doing so much. Satya Sankalpa. He's known as Satya Sankalpa. That whatever he wants, it just happens. Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. We have so many wants, right? Just immediately it happens. That's Krishna. He wants a universe, it just happens. Whatever he wants, it just happens. Satya Sankalpa. This is God. If we want something, we have to work so hard. We have to work so hard at it. It's like we have Satya Narayan Prabhu here. He's in charge of the BBT of so many different languages. And I'm sure he had to work so hard. He's still working so hard to get it going and to maintain it. You know, it's a big yajna. Krishna, he doesn't have to struggle at anything. Whatever he wants, just happens. Sarvasya dataram achintyarupam. And Krishna, he's inconceivable. Everything about Krishna is just inconceivable. And it's described that he has inconceivable forms. There's so many incarnations of Krishna. It's described that there's as many waves as there are in the ocean. How many waves are there on the ocean? Unlimited. So inconceivable. Everything about Krishna is just achintya. Inconceivable. sarvasya dhatarama chinchirupam adityavarnam tamasa parastat. And Krishna, he can never be overcome by the modes of nature. In this world, everybody is overcome by the modes of nature. But Krishna, he controls the modes of nature. And he can never become overcome, or he can never be overcome by darkness. Adityavarnam tamasa parastat. You know, he brings light, you know, with the Bhagavad Gita. You know, he gives us so much light, so much knowledge that destroys this ignorance. So in our condition, in our material condition state of existence, it's an austerity to think of Krishna. And therefore Krishna, he says, yato yato nishchalati, from wherever the mind wanders due to its conditioned nature, bring it back. Bring it back. Keep bringing it back. So it's a yajna. But Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifice, one advances towards the eternal spiritual atmosphere. It's a wonderful statement there by Krishna. Having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifice, one advances towards the eternal atmosphere, the spiritual atmosphere. What is that? That's the spiritual world. Yeah. This material world, it's an atmosphere of illusion. Maya Sukhaya. It's an atmosphere of illusion. So what we're doing by practicing Krishna consciousness is we're preparing ourselves to go to that eternal atmosphere, the spiritual world. And what is the atmosphere there in the spiritual world? It's all about service to Krishna. Selfless service to Krishna. This is the atmosphere. The blissful atmosphere of the spiritual world. And Srila Prabhupada came to this world with that atmosphere. And therefore, so many devotees were attracted to Prabhupada. He said, wherever I go, I'm in Vrindavan. He's thinking of Krishna. And devotees, sometimes they would go to see Prabhupada with problems. And just by being in the atmosphere that Prabhupada created, all their problems would just be gone. No more problems. Just by being in the presence of Srila Prabhupada, who created this spiritual atmosphere, this pure atmosphere. So, it's interesting in the last part of this verse that it said that the kingdom is now ruling the world, that he is now ruling the world with great success due to his being glorified by the deeds of the kings of the Kuru dynasty. Interesting. He's being glorified due to the deeds, to the success of the deeds of the kings. Not due to his activities, it's saying here, but just because he's related to the Pandavas and Pandu, the Kuru dynasty, he's being glorified. And that's actually here within our society as well. Like Prabhupada, he's such a great personality. And because he's such a great personality, anybody that is his disciple, they're glorified. Just because they're a disciple of Prabhupada. Not so much here in America, because there's still quite a number of Prabhupada disciples. If you go to Russia and you see Prabhupada disciples being respected, I mean, it's like they're gurus. You know, the flowers are being thrown on them, and you know, just all kinds of respect because they're disciples of such a great personality. You go to China, same thing. Eastern Europe, same thing. Just because they're related as disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So, of course, anybody that sincerely serves Krishna, serves the pure devotee, gets so much respect. Of course, devotees were not interested in respect. But automatically, that happens. Yeah, without asking for it. So, thank you very much. Is there any question? Yes. Brigopati Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Nice class. So you mentioned in your class that Krishna is called Satcha Sankalpa, which means that he could do anything. He just has to desire
it. Whatever he wants, it just happens.
Right, okay. And you also mentioned that Satcha Narayan Prabhu is working very hard to get the Far East, Middle East books, BBT, going. And I imagine he's doing that in an attempt to, you know, service, please Krishna. So how come Krishna doesn't help him?
He is. Right?
Okay.
You had a question? Or a comment?
Thank you for the wonderful class, Prabhu. I thought earlier it was saying that actually, like, prostitutes were needed in society.
That what?
Prostitutes were needed because otherwise, like, men would prey on innocent girls. Like, I remember that in the Dwarka section when Krishna arrived in Dwarka, there were prostitutes there. But now Srila Prabhupada is saying that it should be eliminated altogether, so.
Well, it's actually kind of inconceivable how to understand this. In Dwarka, there was prostitutes. But they were devotees. But now the prostitutes, they're not devotees. it's just business and sense gratification. It's a topic that I find inconceivable and can't even really discuss because it's so far above my head, I can't understand. But I could say that. Anybody else want to say anything about this inconceivable thing? Give him the microphone.
Good answers, but I would just say they're the victims of circumstance. You know, it wasn't like now that there's so many different options that a person has how to support themselves. I mean, maybe that was all they, you know, it was either that or be out on the street sort of thing. So that was the occupation that was available to them to support themselves. But that doesn't mean that they, you know, they couldn't help but do that.
But in Vedic society, it was, you know, the duty of the father to get the child married, you know, by the time 12, 13, you know.
Well, you could see here, just like here in America, not all families are functional. So even in the Vedic culture, probably there's a lot of dysfunctional, you know, things don't always work out exactly how you want them to. People find themselves in a lot of circumstances that, you know, they don't really want to be in, but they, by the quirks of fate, they couldn't avoid, and they just have to do what they have to do to survive. But that doesn't mean they couldn't simultaneously be pious and even, you know, spiritually minded people.
Even in Vaishnava society, sometimes things just don't work out exactly the way one wants. Even with Krishna,
that's the best answer I can come up with, because I've thought about this myself, and that's the best answer I've been able to come up with myself. I'm not saying it's a great answer.
That's interesting. Yeah. Yes. Pass over the microphone. Hear it from a woman. Oh, you want to say on something? You want to speak on something else?
Oh, no. In Vedic society, dancers were also known as prostitutes. So prostitution doesn't mean
what
someone
was seen as
dancers.
Dancers.
Dancers, lady dancers, or courtesans,
okay,
that entertain in the court. Actresses were as low as a prostitute, or sometimes considered prostitutes because of their profession.
Well, that sheds a whole other light on it. The dancers were seen as prostitutes. Okay.
Yeah, so it's a cultural thing, you know, that someone who takes up a profession that is entertaining men in some way, is called prostitution.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, that sheds a whole other light on it. Thank you for that. Okay, anything else? Thank you very much. Oh, Brigapati Prabhu has something else to say about this or something else?
I know I kind of presented it in a sort of a facetious, humorous way, that question about Sachin Ryan. But it's actually, you know, a philosophical question. Krishna's such a sankalpa. He wants this movement spread. So why is it that, you know, we're struggling for 50 years here to try to spread Krishna consciousness. We're his devotees. We're trying to do this, what he wants, to please him. And still it's hard. And Krishna can do anything he wants just by desiring it. So how is it that we're trying to do Krishna's work and we're struggling so much to just get a few devotees, maintain a few temples, and, you know, why isn't it just kind of like spreading like wildfire? I mean, after 9/11 happened, say, you know, within a half hour, the whole world knew about it. And for 50 years, we're trying to get people to know about Krishna consciousness. And it's like an uphill battle. It really is an uphill battle. So what's the reason for that?
Well, Krishna doesn't interfere with people's free will, for one thing. And it's Kali Yuga. People are very attached to sense gratification. But the more we desire to serve Krishna, to spread Krishna consciousness, the more Krishna helps. So in one sense, it's due to our lack of sincere desire. Like in some places, it's like really booming. Like, for instance, in Russia, there's so many devotees, you know, because there's some devotees there that are really focused on just trying to give Krishna to others. Not to say that we don't have a strong desire here in America, but I guess it's also the desire for sense gratification is just so much more rampant in America. Yeah, some places it's better to preach, some places it's not as good. Yeah. The festival they have in Russia every year is bigger than the Mayapur festival. And that's not even all the devotees. There's so many devotees in Russia, it's unbelievable.
Do you think, I want to just present another thought. You know, today's Prabhupada's arrival day, the anniversary of it. But Prabhupada was here for almost a whole year before really anything happened. You know, he arrived at this time in 1965, but it wasn't until almost, well, June or so of 1966 that he really had the first temple and some sincere, legitimate followers. So do you think maybe Krishna is doing something like that, that he's withholding results, waiting for the devotees to become more purified, more mature, and then at that point, just like he gave Prabhupada the results after a year of struggle, maybe, what do you think? Is that a possible?
Yeah.
I said Krishna works in his own time. We cannot force him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just Krishna, he's got his plan. You know, we just have to continue on pushing on as Prabhupada wanted us to, as Krishna wants us to, and we don't know what's going to happen. Just like you gave a very good example of the water boiling. Yeah? Very good example. He gives the example of the water boiling. The first few minutes, And the fire is on strong, but the first few minutes there's nothing. It looks like there's nothing happening in the water. It looks the same. But after about 4 or 5 minutes, then you start seeing bubbles, and then it starts boiling after a while. So this is still a young movement. So we may not see what's happening. But Krishna, you know, he sees what's happening. We just got to keep on distributing the books. That means the fire is going on in society. And eventually, we don't know what's going to happen. It may just become like a world success, you know. We don't know. But we just have to keep the flame under the water. Keep the books going out. And we may not see it, but others may see it in the future. But Prabhupada said this movement can't be stopped. It's too late. The books are out there. The fire is out there. So just have to continue and see what Krishna's plan is. Right?
So that's our perfection. We shouldn't be frustrated if, you know, not seeing the kind of results we were expecting or hoping for. Just as long as we're engaged in the activities that Prabhupada has kind of prescribed for us, trying to please him, then we're okay. You know, the rest is up to Krishna.
Yeah, we can't be attached to the results. You know, oh, come on, you know, distribute so many books, where's all the devotees? Ah, I mean, some people are saying that. Devotees are saying that. Ah, millions of books are distributed, you know, come on, you know, we're decreasing. Or no, just keep on doing it. Krishna's got his plan. Yeah.
There's a verse also that mentions Nayanadma Pravachanena Navabhena Nasrute Nava. And in that verse it says that when Krishna is pleased, whoever he chooses, it's not so much by so much reading, but so much hearing, but so much, you know, austerity somebody performs. But when he's pleased, he chooses to that person or that organization or that group to give a special mercy. Mm. When he wants to. When he's
so
pleased.
We're doing this preaching to please Krishna. And whatever happens, it's in his hands. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.